Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. So a little birdie told me that you got a new job. Is this correct?
Yes. Yes, it is correct.
Okay. Are you allowed to share it, or is it, like, secret, or is it, like...
No. It's not secret at all.
Good.
It's basically, you know, following your advice and kind of, like, not trying not to self-sabotage myself in any way, shape, or form. You know, I was actually given another opportunity where it was only part-time work. But, you know, it was just something that was going to supplement what I was already doing. But at the same time, it wasn't really getting me, you know, any further away from my home situation and trying to help out my mother with all of that, you know, with all the stuff that we had going on with my grandmother. So I was originally just going to go in and just kind of just, like, just jump into it just to limit my exposure with the toxic woman that I call my grandmother, and that was going to be it. But what wound up happening was, I'm guessing because I just put it out to the universe that I was ready to leave, it was kind of funny because you had told me that my grandfather was in the house a lot, and I had gone on this interview after I had taken this part-time position elsewhere.
Your deceased grandfather. Let's tell our clients.
Yes, I'm sorry. My deceased grandfather. You know, so basically, in a nutshell, what wound up happening was, after taking this other part-time job, and keep in mind that I was only taking this other position because they had hopes of moving me into a more corporate position. So I was figured, you know what, if I got to go on the bottom rung of the ladder that, you know, in order to climb, that I would do that. But, you know, what happened was I went on this interview and I found out, like, what they did over there. And, you know, I really kind of, like, loved, you know, what they were doing and everything. It's got to do with education and stuff like that. So, you know, basically I went on the interview and I had, you know, a wonderful interview. They said that they were going to be in touch with me after the holidays. You know, so I figured, what the hell, you know, just leave it alone and everything. You know, I'll wait until after Christmas. So after all was said and done, I waited. You know, I didn't really, like, do much of anything else. You know, I just kind of just went about my usual days. And one day I was just having a hell of a time with my grandmother. And I finally just resigned and I was like, Grandpa, I said, you got to get me the hell out of here. I was like, whatever you do, I said, you got to get me out of here. I was like, I don't know what the hell's going to happen. I was like, make this part-time position a full-time position, do something. I was like, but either I'm going to kill her or I'm going to kill myself. I was like, you've got to help me out here. That day, it was amazing because that day I heard back from them. And it wasn't after the holiday, you know, obviously, because the holiday was yesterday and the day before, you know. And the woman said, listen, you know, we can't give you everything that we want, but this is where we'll meet you in the middle and this and that and everything else. And this is what we're offering. And I said, you know what, I'm interested. Let's move forward. And then I bowed out of the other part-time job. I spoke to the head of the corporate office at that part-time job. We're going to go to brunch on Sunday and actually mull over a couple of things because it looks like in 6 months I might be offered an even better position with a new company. And we're going to talk about the details of that position this coming up Sunday. And in addition to that, upon taking this new position and upon getting, you know, my future set up, you know, for, you know, a revisit of this other company in 6 months, I also found out from my mother that around the same time, if not maybe the day before or the day after, that, you know, all this stuff happened, the whole purpose of me stepping in to help out, you know, with my grandmother and everything was because my mother really needed help with the Medicaid process. And now anybody has ever that's ever had to go through this knows that Medicaid and dealing with New York State and dealing with NYSARC and things like that can be such just a heavy, heavy burden in just paperwork alone. And my whole purpose for kind of stepping in was not only to try to see if I could help my grandmother, but also to help my mother with this process. And I found out the very day that I got this job that we got approved for the community Medicaid, and now she's approved to get a nurse in the house. So now I don't even have to feel guilty about leaving the house because now my mother's been approved to get a nurse in here for a few hours a day in addition to the other aid that's here. So everything fell into place. All within like
a 3 days. Didn't I tell you that in your reading?
Yes, you did.
Didn't I tell you all that? I mean, I'm glad that you're reading. Now, what I love about you is because you do this as a labor of love, this radio show. So the universe, when you come for a reading, wants to give you instant karma. Instant. We're going to just change your life on a dime, Nicole. Tell us what
oh
you
my
want,
God.
And we're going to change it. So I'm laughing because your reading was so clear, and so I'm not surprised by what you're telling
me. It completely was, and you were right on so many different things. So it was really, really, you know, I couldn't believe how it went down. Because you know what, you told me even, with the part-time position that I was taking, to be careful that they're going to give you all that they say they're going to give you. You know, I mean, you told me that. And, you know, when push came to shove with that particular job, you know, although I was enjoying it and although, you know, I could have seen myself have some degree of fun with it, it wasn't really what I wanted. It was just something that I was settling for. It had a few perks that I was excited about, but nothing really that was up my alley, you know. It was only the promises for the future that I really, really wanted. You know, it was only the corporate positions later on where I would have to really climb up that ladder that I was really, really interested in. And when it came down to my actually being hired, after I spoke to this guy, when he asked me what I wanted, I said very, very basic what I wanted. I don't really want to do this, but I can do this for now because in 6-8 months, I would like to be, you know, this far along. And I was told in the initial process, yes, we can do this. And then I was told upon being hired, well, it's not going to be full-time, it's only going to be part-time. And the job that you want in the corporate office might be available in 6 months, but it might not be available for another year. But I'm going to put you on this agenda so you can manage it. You can do this and you can do that. And then I found out after the fact, and I resigned to it. I said, okay, fine, you know what, I got to make changes. Life doesn't change unless you make changes. So I said, okay, I'm going to make the change and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to see it through. And then all of a sudden, as I'm training for this part-time position, I'm finding out that this other person that is hiring me has his own agenda for the corporate office, that he wants to do something very similar that I was going to do, and in a nutshell, he was really trying to keep me in my place. To the point that he spoke to the owner of the company about, yeah, she really needs to start out in the stores versus just come straight into corporate. You know, I mean, I think that I'm a better candidate to be up in corporate, you know, given that I've been working the stores for X amount of time and this and that, and completely trying to completely trying to sabotage me and leading me down a path where I was self-sabotaging. So you told me to be careful, and I'm happy that you did because, you know what, I might have tried to stick it out, not to work like another desk job, so to speak. But, you know, because you told me to be careful, when these other two opportunities came on, again, I followed the same ideology. Life doesn't change unless you make changes. I jumped at the other opportunity. Medicaid application came through. This part-time job, you know, it was available just before Christmas, so I was able to gain a little bit of money from these people before I walked away. And I found out from the owner of this particular franchise that my corporate options are not shot, and he invited me to brunch on Sunday to talk about future, you know, future work with that particular company, regardless of the fact that I just bowed out of this training process 2 weeks in. So
see,
everything could not have been more perfect.
Now, you could see that's what you're supposed to. You're supposed to, when you get a tarot reading, for those listeners, you know, I guide you. I tell you what's there. But you have to take the steps and you have to listen, because I get so tired of a year later people yelling at me that their life hasn't changed. And I'm like, well, did you follow anything you were guided to do? Did you get off your couch to meet somebody? Did you get out of your house? I mean, how are you going to meet? How are you going to get a soulmate when you haven't left the house? How are you going to get a new job when you haven't put a resume out? How are you going to do anything? So what happens is you could see how fast after a tarot reading things will change and manifest and be in your face. But you have to be ready to change on a dime, make those decisions. Can't mull it over. What if this? What if that? If only this? If only that? For like 6 months until that opportunity just passed. So it's acting quickly, swiftly when you're guided.
And that's I have a history of sabotaging myself. I do. I have. I mean, I'll be the first to admit it, because, you know what, I know a lot of our listeners have the same problem too. I self-sabotage. Things start going good, and I'm supposed to be manifesting one thing, and then the fear sets in, and then the worry sets in. And then it's like, well, what if this happens, and what if that happens? And I literally start worrying about what if I lose something before it's even come to me. You
right.
know?
And I
sabotage myself, and I keep myself in a little box of safety. But the whole thing is that when you put yourself in that little safety box, yes, you're preventing bad things from happening to you, but you're also preventing anything good from happening as well, because you're so guarded and you're just, you know, it's exactly that. You're boxed in, you know? So, yeah, the bad can't get in, but neither can the good stuff, you know?
And you're also losing
the challenges.
The opportunities. Like if people, I tell them, yes, your love is going to manifest this year or whatever, and they don't do anything for 6 months. I'm like, well, you were supposed to do some actions in that 6 months. Now, who knows if that person now has met someone else? Not that it's a soulmate, but it's a good catch. Someone else said, hey, let me just, like, see what this person is.
You've just delayed your own thing. You know, you've just delayed your own growth, because, you know, what that person may not be with a soulmate, but they might be, like, in a holding pattern with somebody else waiting for you to be ready.
Right, and that's why once we get guidance in a tarot reading, if people will play it out, because by the time they usually come to me for a reading, the universe is really ready to push them forward. So those people that take that leap of faith, their life changes amazingly. But if you don't do anything that you've been guided and you don't take those leap of faith, don't yell at me that your life hasn't changed. I just tell you what's there in the cards and what you're supposed to get and what's supposed to be manifesting. But I can't make it manifest for you. You have to make it manifest. And it's one of the hardest things about being, a tarot card reader or a psychic. The cards don't lie. They tell me what's there, but whether you get it or not depends upon your actions and your free will, and anything can change on a dime. If you know, and the universe keeps sizing things. It's, okay, she hasn't done anything for 2 months, and now we got to, like, that job is gone. And so I have one client who 3 years ago was in retail and lost her job. And in her reading, I said to her, look, the kind of retail job you have is never going to exist again. You have to reinvent yourself. You have to get a new profession. And I was telling her for a year before she got, like, laid off from that job, look for a job. This job's days are numbered. Look for a job for a year. But she wouldn't do it. She wouldn't make the change. And I said, no, there's a really good job for you. But leave. You have to leave this one. You have to start looking. She didn't do that. Now, 3 years later, she still does not have a job in retail. Now, I was like, what didn't you hear 3 years ago? That this job doesn't exist anymore. You're looking for what doesn't exist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when you hear guidance, that voice telling you it's time to leave, it's time to look for another job, it's time to get out of a relationship, there's a certain window of time where the universe is patient, and then you alter everything after that.
Yep.
The job that was there, the opportunities that were there disappear, because life moves quickly, and we have to move just as quickly. Well, anyway, we're going to take a reader, but I did want to let everybody know that my new book is now in the publisher. It
Woo-hoo!
Should be out pretty soon, about 2 months from now. I think it should all be done. And I will reveal the title, which I have not revealed yet. And it is called Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. Letting go of your 6 so-called good traits that keep you tied to the devil you know.
Oh, my God. That's
now,
so
that,
awesome.
And it works for everything, for business, for personal relationships, for family with children. It is, you know, we are sometimes just too good, and we just drag our feet too long. And it's really, you know, my idea is to help people's lives change really quickly and for the better. And,
yep.
you know,
and actually,
I'm so glad.
Cindy, I'm going to interrupt you right there just to tell you one thing. Now, in my reading, you just so you know how right you were, so the listeners actually hear from me how right you actually were in a reading with me, that obviously my girlfriend and I, we are very, very happy. We've got a very, very symbiotic relationship. But like any other relationship, there are certain stressor points, you know, where even, you know, people that have great communication can still sometimes not communicate about the right things, you know. And you had given me, you know, some advice about how to break that cycle with my girlfriend because, like I said, even though we're very, very happy, you know, there are certain things that were just not being addressed, you know, or not discussed, you know, that really should have been discussed within our relationship. Now, I just want you to know that I didn't go back to her and say anything about what you had said to me in that reading.
Thank you.
I did not say a damn thing that you said. Okay, what I did do is I came home and I said, you know what, well, Cindy had some stuff to say about us and moving forward in the future and everything else, and she wanted to know what it was. I said, you know what, don't worry about it now, we'll discuss it at another time. You know, and I left it alone. What I did do was I showed her, you know, and I started backing off on a couple of things. I started making requests for her to step up, and I literally, through actions, you know, kind of was going through what you were telling me, you know. And I can't even tell you, Cindy, it's amazing because, you know, even you said in the reading, well, you know what, she's a big girl, and if you don't do it, guess what, she's capable. You don't have to burn yourself out doing too much. And you know what? I backed off, and I kind of just said, listen, babe, I'm going to need your help with this. Honey, listen, I can do this, but I'm really not feeling it right now. Can you please step in over here? And again, I just opened up the lines of communication in a different way. And you know what? We have been absolutely, I didn't even think that we could get any better than we were, and we did. Just by me backing off and me addressing certain things, not by having it sit down and say, well, Cindy said A, B, C, and D, but by pretty much just blowing it off and being like, you know what, hon? I'm not ready for this right now. Would you be able to handle this? Or, you know, and literally making the request upon her. And to this day, you know, even though this was a few weeks ago that we had this reading, to this day, she's asking me, listen, what can I take off your plate? You know, I don't even have to ask her anymore. Now she's literally in the habit of saying, well, listen, you've got a lot going on today. Do you want me to help you? You know, versus what she was doing, which is, oh, well, Nikki's got it, and, you know, Nikki will handle it, not a problem. You know, I mean, she's literally extending herself in a way that she wasn't before, and it was simply by me backing off like you advised me to. So, even
and
though
that's
I was very, very happy, I'm even more happy now. You
and,
know?
And also, what I love
happier,
is,
but I am.
Is you didn't go tell her everything. Like, sometimes people go, well, Cindy said this, that, and that. I go, you're not supposed to do that. I guide
yeah.
you. And you're supposed to just get the guidance and shut up. Because
yes.
what happens is then I look like the bad guy, or it looks like, and I said, it's not coming across that way. And sometimes things get lost in translation. How I say
yes.
it is never the way it's delivered from somebody else's
mouth.
Oh,
no,
let
no,
me
no,
tell
no,
you.
Never.
And I know I would never say that. So I'm like, if you're going to let them listen to a tape, that's one thing because they'll hear the
mm-hmm.
exact things. But there's also a point where the guidance is for you personally, for you to change, and in your changing, the other person changes. It's not necessarily
it's like
you
a game
telling
of telephone,
the person.
Cindy.
Exactly.
It's like a game of telephone that they're hearing it one way when they're with you. And even at that, they're filtering out what you're saying if it's something that people don't want to hear or face or confront, you know, or whatever else. You know, and then by the time they get home and they replay this conversation in their head a few times, you know, and that's the conversation with you, you know, I mean, it always changes, you know. I mean, that's why when I'm with you, I tend to take notes because I even catch myself. It's like when I'm trying to think about certain things and certain points, I'm like, well, Cindy did say this. And then I'll go back to my notes and I'm like, ah, no, she didn't, you know, because I was remembering something completely inaccurate. So, and even when my girlfriend had gotten a reading from you, you know, a couple of weeks prior to me getting the reading from you, she gave me certain points, but she didn't give me the entire conversation, and she did not try to give you verbatim. She was just like, hey, listen, Cindy says A, B, and C, you know, so we're just going to have to make some changes moving forward, you know, and we left it at that, and it was the same thing with mine, you know what? Yeah, she touched upon a couple of topics, but we're going to leave it at that. We'll discuss it another time. You know what? Actions speak louder than words, you know, and, you know, because of the advice that you gave, you know, we let our actions speak. And you know what? Like anything that could have gone wrong, you know, like in the future, had we stayed on that path, I don't believe we'll go wrong because we're taking active measures to you know, do things the right way and to keep those lines of communication open so that there's not even an option for them to close.
Exactly. But anyway, we haven't screened any callers, and we've got like
we
a
haven't screened
million,
anybody,
so.
And there's a million people on right now, and
all
I
right,
don't know
so,
where the hell they came from.
Okay, so I'm glad. I thought we weren't going to have any listeners tonight, the day after a holiday.
Yeah,
so.
Right, because the day after the holiday. You know what? Everybody has dysfunctional family syndrome from yesterday, so I need to get it out on the radio today. So, all right, we're going to go to the 516 code right now. Again,
which
I
is
do
California.
Not screen the first call. It is California? Okay, there you go. You know better than I. And just so you know that we are addressing you when we say hello, the last four digits of your number are 3960. All right, so let's see who's waiting for us in Cali. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Happy
Thank
holidays.
You so much. What a pleasant voice. And who are you?
This is Annie.
Annie, and you're calling from California, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you've been waiting a long time, so there must be something really on your mind that you want to share with us. So why don't you just jump in, and of course, we're wishing you a very happy new year and as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Happy new year to you guys, too. A very highly prosperous one.
Yeah,
everybody. I was just, you know, the year's winding down, and, you know, great things have happened to me this year. So I'm very grateful, and I've made a lot of forward momentum. So I was just wondering what you saw for me maybe coming up for 2014, if there's anything that I should look out for or, you know, just any
any curves and dangerous curves in the road. Well, what I see, what I see is you're not only had a very good 2013, but that particular year had opened up a five-year period in which anything you want is yours. So you have four more years of what's called the chariot, which is you being the master of your destiny, which is what we were talking about, Nicole and I. The universe wants to bring you anything you want, but you do have to take the first steps forward. And
okay.
So if you could visualize where you want to be 1 year from now and 4 years from now, it will manifest. Career-wise, looks extremely lucrative. There's two very, very strong money cards out of 80, and you got the two strongest money cards. A lot of it is a little bit more learning, honing your skills, and then eventually really taking your career where you want it to go. So the next 4 years is very, very lucrative money-wise for you. So that's an important thing. I'm also seeing a nice husband in the future. Do you have one now?
No.
Okay, because there's the husband card came next to the, like, really good things. Is that part of your horizon? Now, husband is a big word because it means a soulmate, really. Someone, this is like a heart, soul, mind, body connection. Are you looking for that at this point?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because that's sort of, that's what's in your cards is career and also your career, your love. Also much more spiritual growth in the next few years, and I could see you're on that path as well. Have you mourned for the ending of your last relationship, by the way?
Yeah, I have. I have.
Okay, because that was a significant relationship. The fact that it didn't maintain itself doesn't negate the fact that it was, you know, a very important relationship in your life. And you've been standing on your own 2 feet now without someone for a little bit?
Yeah, I left the scene for a little while, and then I started to put myself out there, and I'm kind of opening myself up to meeting other people, which I think is quickening my soulmate coming in because I'm kind of putting it out there to the universe and I'm open and I'm ready.
And that's exactly what you need to do is, you know, get when people say, well, you know, you told me I was going to have love last year and it didn't manifest. I said, well, did you get out and meet some new friends? Because,
yeah.
You know, the universe knows where this soulmate is, but you have to make some new friends, new connections, expand your world. Go somewhere where you haven't gone before. And, you know, no matter where you go, your object should be to talk and communicate and meet people. And that means when you're standing on a line in a store, put down the cell phone. Talk to the person in front of you, the person behind you. If you're on a bus, if you're wherever you are, talk to people. You know, it's generations lost in the cell phone that they're missing opportunities to just meet people and open up. And if you are so on that path of everything you want, will manifest in this next 4 years sooner than that. I mean, it's here. So try not to listen to people saying, you know, there's no good guys out there or whatever, there's no good relationships, because you are definitely destined for that. And this is, you know, you have, like, really, really good cards. A little bit anxiety in your cards. Are you sometimes prone to anxiety?
Yeah, because it seems like it's the same. I don't know if I can curse on the radio.
Yes, you can. Yes, okay, this is for grown-ups, this show, yes. And I'm a great advocate of curses at the right moment.
I can choose them,
but when I use them, you know I mean it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's how I am. It seems like it's like the same shit, different toilet, you know? So it's
right.
Like over and over, it's like, okay, when I'm just, I think it's just happening at, it's happening at its own pace, and I just want everything to happen like, you know, bam, you know? But then I don't know if that happened, how I would be able to process it.
Okay,
so
that's very important what you said. Because Nicole was ready for change. Now, Nicole wasn't ready for change 4 months ago. If I read her 4 months ago, she wasn't ready to hear, you got to do this, this, that, and move your life forward. But when she came and I told her, you got to this, that, and that, and your life will change, it changed because she was ready for it. The universe could change our life on a dime. We all know our lives change negatively on a dime. We get the phone call, we've got cancer. We got the phone call, somebody just died in a car crash. We're used to life changing negatively on a dime. We're not used to the fact it can change positively just as quickly. We all accept negative change because we have no choice on it. Why don't we accept that life could change for the better just as quickly? So when we make up our mind that we want love, we're ready for it, it's here. And
yeah.
If people keep saying, well, I haven't met anybody in 12 years, I have to say, well, you have to have some errors in your thinking that you really don't want love. Because if you really want love, it manifests. Now, sometimes if we dragged our foot not looking for love for 4 years, now, there may have been a soulmate right there for us, but we wasted 4 years. Now you have to wait till the universe does bring it in alignment. And sometimes with soulmates, it could take a year or two because soulmates are not, you know, readily available because say you had one perfect soulmate, another one came right your way. Who would you choose? It would make the world a chaotic place. So
right.
Realize that our dragging are often the reason why we miss opportunities. So
Do you have an idea as to when that opportunity might present itself?
It's right here. It's this year. I mean, it could be tomorrow. I mean, it's so close here.
That's why I asked you
if you had a husband already, because it's like here. Do you know what I mean? So that means he's probably been circling a year already, because you're in 1 year into the 5-year good cycle. So maybe you weren't ready, so they didn't bring him in alignment with you. But when you do meet him, you're going to realize, I could have met him 6 months ago had I done this or that. So try to just visualize where you want to be a year from now and 4 years from now, and let it manifest, because there's nothing at all bad in your card. And anxiety happens when, you know, things are perhaps not moving as fast as we want them to. And, again, sometimes if we're control freaks, which most people are, like a lot of them say, well, you know, they don't want babies, now I want babies. And, you know, 3 months they're trying and they're not pregnant and they're so furious with God. I go, well, for 20 years you've been trying not to get pregnant. Now you just want to get pregnant today. God's trying to say to you, it's not always about what you want. Sometimes, you know, the soul has to get ready to come down to earth. We didn't realize now you're ready. So sometimes it's trusting in God's divine guidance and timing, but your whole life should be changed by time. If you call in this time next year, I would bet you're going to tell me your whole life has changed for the better.
Yeah, you know, I have anxiety about my age. That's where the anxiety is.
Well, how old are you? Sound like you're 15.
Plus,
I'm 60.
Like,
I'll tell you, I'm 60.
Year.
So how old are you?
36.
That's young. That's a good
no
age.
No kids, no husband or anything. And
well,
I feel
that's your whole generation is no husbands and no relationship at 36. And
yeah.
Know that do you want babies in the future? Is that something you were thinking of?
Oh, yeah, sure, for sure.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's why the universe is saying you have a biological clock ticking. So if you want babies, then you have to manifest love now. You can't say next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. It has to be, I want to meet my soulmate. I want children, and I want to move forward. And the universe knows you have a biological clock ticking. God knows this is going on here. So bringing you a very strong soulmate who's ready to commit to you, move forward, is important. But your generation can't seem to make up their minds. The guy's like, well, I don't know if I want it now. I mean, like, when are you going to decide that you
yeah.
want marriage and children? So for you, I'm glad that you're realizing you're not old by any means, but you're old in not in terms of making babies, but in terms of you can't wait 5 years from now. Now I want babies.
Yeah.
It's got to be like now. This is a very
That's
good
what
time.
I'm thinking, yeah, I'm like, it has to be now, like now.
Right, exactly. And the universe is waiting for you to say now. And I'm always telling my clients who are even 36 and married, and well, we want babies, but yet I go, look, you can always make money. You can't always make babies. Make your
yeah.
babies. If you want babies, make your babies. Because, you know, that's the whole point for you. Everything is going to change this year. And, you know, this is a very strong soulmate. He, you know, it'll be a very strong, quick connection. And, you know, everything will sort of boom, boom, boom happen. But that's why you need that anxiety. The universe wants you to have that anxiety. It's not coming from you. It's coming from your dark angel saying, Annie, don't get so comfortable. You're going to wait another year for love. Annie, we want you to have, and they give us anxiety, so we keep moving forward. So once you really say to the universe, I know, I got a plan, I got a master plan, I got it, it's under control here, I know what I have to do, the anxiety will lessen. But it's just there to not get you so comfortable. Because I think you didn't expect to be at this point in your life 10 years ago. I thought, you know, by now you probably thought you'd be married and beginning to have children, if not having children, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. How fast did that decade go?
Oh, God, like a blink of an eye.
Okay, so it just keeps going like blinks of eyes. So that's
yeah.
why you can't get too comfortable. And anybody who wants love, just say you want it. I mean, I've always been a believer in love, and it's always been there and always manifested for me, always, because I believe in it and that it was important to me. And so, you know, when people are saying they can't find it, I'm like, well, your generation's a little hard because they don't get out from under the television set, the iPod, and the computer. You know, getting out there in the real world is important. Even the internet dating, they say only 1 out of 5 couples meet that way. So that means still 4 out of 5 are meeting some other way. So if you're only depending upon a computer, it's not the number one best way to find love. So, you know, keep that in mind. But really, this should manifest. I mean, I'm not worried about you at all. So,
like,
you know,
do I have to do anything specifically for me? Do I need to do anything in order to
yes,
make this
you
happen?
Need yep. to pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be the same. And you're going to write down what your ideal soulmate would be like, kind, loving, your best friend, as many traits that you can think of, so that the universe knows that you what you want, and it also... Some of the traits you're going to write down, you're not going to realize why you wrote them down until you meet this person. You're going to go, I don't even know why I wrote that down. And then he has that, and you're going to say, oh, okay. So who told me that trait? Like when I was manifesting my husband, I said I wanted to be a writer. I don't know why I said that. I wanted to be Italian. I don't even know why I said that. The next night I met him, he was a writer and he was Italian. So did I think of that, or was it told to me to, this is the traits? So sometimes just being very specific and being very positive, and the greatest invitation to love is to be loving first. That means wherever you go, smile, be warm. Be one of those people that just gives love wherever they go. All of a sudden, the universe catches your fever, mm-hmm. and you become a magnet for people. They want to be near you. They really
I wrote
do.
I wrote down a list like a few years back. Should I write down that list again?
And maybe tweak it, because you've changed in the last few years. The man that might have been what you thought you wanted is probably a lot different now.
Okay.
So look at the list and add to it or subtract from it, but, you know, look over that list now.
Okay.
Well, let us know when love manifests. We're so glad you called in. You have such beautiful energy. So, and don't think that 36 is old, because it's really not. Again, it is old in terms of you can't waste 5 more years. thinking, well, right. 5 years from now I want love. That's the only reason, because you want babies and you have a biological clock ticking. But, you know, soulmates believe it. Just make a lot of love and that'll happen. It's not that hard, you know, to make a baby, although your generation seems to think it's hard. I laugh about that when I spent my whole life trying not to conceive, as you people think it's hard. But realize that, you know, I'm like, yeah, really? We had sex. We got pregnant. That was the rule, you know? So just make a lot of love, and please call in again, especially if you meet somebody soon. We'd love to hear about it.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's see. We have Carol. I think that Carol actually emailed me, and I just loved her email that she sent me, because she, Nicole, are you there? Because I see she was listening to the archives, and she's taking 2 feet out of a love affair with a married man and letting go. Okay. All right. Now, I'm just going to get you, Carol, because I was hoping you would call in tonight. You must have heard my message, Carol. I was saying I wish she would call in tonight.
Well, you inspired me to call in for sure. I was sitting out on the hill feeding the cattle, and it's like, I'm going to have the courage and call in tonight.
And if you know, anybody who knows me, I say, we all have fear. What we need is courage. Everybody has fear. Muster up your courage. I'm so, so glad. And I loved that you were listening to the archives, and you heard me talk about 2 feet in, 2 feet out. And it appears you were having an affair with a married man. Is that what's going on here?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not judging that by any means. God always knows what time it's on the planet. So when falls in love with someone who's married, or a married man falls in love with a woman, it's God's way of saying either fix your marriage to him or leave your marriage. You know, if you're in a soulmate marriage, no man could put that asunder. You're loving each other, heart, soul, mind, and body. You're committed to that. A marriage to God is heart, soul, mind, body, committed love, committed to healing. It's not a business arrangement. So, you know, I'm sure with him, he had very strong feelings for you. But, you know, men sort of want their cake and eat it too still. And after a while, you can't do that. And you taking 2 feet out is giving him a message. And the message is, as a sisterhood of women, you have chosen your wife now. God does give people time. No one should leave a long-term marriage for an affair without at least a year of deep inner searching. God wouldn't expect someone to leave a marriage.
Cindy,
you know, you would have to... Go ahead.
I'm going to interject right there, okay, because Lovely Blog Talk has booted me out of the host queue, which is why I couldn't actually set up Carol's call for you. I just want you to know a little something about this lady that you're about to talk to here. Not only is she had this love affair with this guy for, Carol, how long? 4 years?
4.5 years.
Four and a half years.
And did you tell her relationships work in how long cycles? Did you tell her that?
5 year cycles. Well, I saved that part for you. But this is the great part about Carol. A, she was listening to the archives, as you saw in my setup, you know, to try to find the answers that she was looking for prior to calling. In addition to that, though, Cindy, she didn't just stop at the archives, okay? She started laying down some work. She's got a small farm that she's dealing with. She is doing all of the groundwork to try to gravitate away from this affair that she was having, letting go of the devil that she knows in several different ways, both in this relationship that she's left, both, you know, with her farm and everything else. And she actually, after making all of these changes, she suddenly actually had like a little bit of an epiphany where she saw herself in late spring, you know, making changes and being with somebody that she's meant to be with. So part of what you didn't read in the setup, because I got booted off of Blog Talk, was that not only is she taking the steps, that she's actually seeing herself going places, and she wants validation that those places are really going to arrive for her.
Well, she's going to reap what she's sowing, and that's very important. And, you know, again, she had this long-term affair, and, of course, she's at the 4.5-year mark. The next 6 months is crucial to see when she has her 2 feet out, whether he would come to an epiphany himself that, you know, he's meant to be with her and leave his wife, or it's meant to close it. And, you know, she needs this period of time, you know, Carol, you need this time to stand on your own two feet without a man. But realize that you were brought as soulmates. Do you remember having that connection with him?
Oh, yes. That's why this is just leaves such a big hole in my heart, and I'm having a hard time believing it, though I get it.
And you're supposed to mourn for the ending of a soulmate relationship. Everybody tries to bypass mourning, the pain. No, it should feel like a death. It should feel horrible and distracting by, you know, dating a million people or, you know, doing drugs, whatever people to distract. It's going to catch up with you sooner or later. So I always advise people don't bypass the mourning. But because it was a soulmate relationship that ended, in an ideal world, you don't self-destruct. You come to a place of self-love. You begin to create, plant, do things, maintain things, ground yourself to the earth the way you're doing, and repair what needs to be repaired inside of yourself, laying the foundation for the next soulmate to come. I will venture to say, Carol, that I need you to meditate, and maybe you'll listen in the archives because I'm sure a lot of this is, you know, you're going to forget, but meditate on that the fact that this level of love was the level of love you could have handled at the time, that you were a closet commitment phobic and were drawn at some level to this married man because it didn't change your whole life immediately. You know, true love changes everything on a dime. You meet your soulmate, suddenly everything changes. Where are you going to live? You know, everything. Everything about your life changes. And you may have had your own commitment issues, and this was the level of soulmate you could handle. But what you learned was soulmate love without commitment is pain.
I sure do.
That you have changed and you have grown. And that your prayer has to be that soulmate prayer, praying for one who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and you want to be the same. And I will tell you, the man that you had the affair with is a commitment phobic. He's what I call a committed commitment phobic. He's married to a wife he's not all that committed to, obviously. He comes home with his body only. His heart, soul, mind is with you. And don't be fooled the fact that he was married as if he doesn't have commitment issues. And, you know, he can go back to the devil he knows her because, well, it's convenient. He can get away with murder with her, by the way. And I don't know if you know, but she knew about the affair because she has a grandmother who passed away who told me his wife knew about the affair. Did you know that?
No, I figured she had to know subconsciously, but I didn't know that she knew consciously.
She knew consciously because her grandmother made her check his cell phone one day.
Uh-huh.
And she clearly saw a message.
No,
now,
I left him messages.
And she saw, okay? And now the bad karma lies more with her because if you know that your mate is having an affair and you see it in black and white, hiding your head in the sand and pretending it doesn't exist is a coward's choice. You would be, you know, if he were my husband, I would say to him, really, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I don't own you. Do you love her? Then leave. But you can't have both. I would give him a choice. And at that point, if he says, well, I don't know what I want, then I'd say, well, I'll make the decision for you. I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't do that. I mean, she doesn't want a divorce because she doesn't want it to rock her world. And, you know, he's a pretty good provider and the whole bit. But understand that after a certain period of time, it begins to incur negative karma to have an affair, and the universe needed for you to get that message. This can't go on forever. As a sisterhood of women, if he's still with his wife, you would be asked to say, well, you chose your wife over me, so go to your wife. And as hard as that may be for you, in taking the 2 feet out, the only reason he could stay married to her, by the way, is because he has you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without you there, he's going to face the real loneliness of his marriage, especially Christmas time, holiday time. I mean, it gets really lonely for him to be there with her, and they don't communicate well. And it, you know, sometimes the only reason people could stay is if they have an affair. Now, also, she knows about the affair. She's allowed him to have it. If he comes to you and marries you, are you going to tolerate him having an affair with somebody else?
No.
He knows he can get away with murder with her. He's not so sure that on a day-to-day basis you would take his crap because, according to his grandfather, did he ever talk to you about his grandfather who died, by the way?
No.
This man said he's not so easy to live with on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So picture he knows she'll take his crap on a day-to-day basis. He's not so sure you would. So leaving her, you know, is about the money. What will people say? What will people think? And he kind of cares more about that than anything right now. But in taking the 2 feet out, no texting, no talking. You don't talk to him at all, do you?
No.
Okay, good. He will have to miss you. He will have to realize he's lost you. And that's something that maybe he'll distract. Maybe he'll throw himself, you know, into work or whatever distraction of choice. Who knows if he'll drink. Whatever people do to just distract from their life, he may do that. But know that you are doing exactly what's correct. By time you hit the 5-year mark, what month will that be in the new year coming up? When will that be?
End of May.
Okay. By time the end of May comes, the universe will completely close up this soulmate relationship. They do need to give him a minimum of 3 to 6 months to see what he does when you're not there, without texting, no talking. 3 months from now, he may contact you. You would have to say to him, what is your intention in contacting me? Is it to stick 2 feet in here and be with me? If not, don't call me. You'd have to be very firm on that. He has to really know that he's lost you. If they're registering in the next 2 or 3 months that he's just distracting, I don't know what his drug of choice could be. I mean, it could. People have different things. They're not necessarily drugs, but sometimes they throw themselves into work, or they drink, or they just distract. Do you know what his distraction is, by any chance?
Yeah, it's his farm.
Okay,
that's his real mistress.
Okay, so he'll just be farming like a lunatic. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And workaholic, and just, you know, work a 14-hour day. So what he's trying to do is when he puts his head on that pillow, he wants to be so tired that he doesn't think about you. But it's funny about soulmates. You could toil all day, but when you put your head on that pillow, the thought is of the soulmate. So, you know, he will try to distract from it. Again, when May comes, if he hasn't come back a free man to you, they will bring another soulmate into alignment with you. But they have to see what he does first, because what if he came to you a week from now telling you, I've left her, this is it, I want you, and you had another soulmate? Who would you pick? It would be chaos. So if you were closing the door a month from now, really felt like, this is it, I'm over it, then that would close the door. But I don't think you're quite ready for that yet.
No, I haven't extinguished the hope. I'm just telling myself I need to keep on going forward, because the likelihood of this man making such a significant shift and doing the inner work to be a comparable partner to me is just slim. I got to tell the truth here.
Well, that's it. And know that, you know, he has his issues. And, you know, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Try not to stop loving him. You know, don't I have to stop loving him. That's bullshit. You're never going to stop loving him.
Right.
Nor do you have to waste your energy, because if you do that, soulmates are very telepathic. And how I learned to commune with any soul living or dead was that I fell in love with a commitment phobic who just slammed the door and there was no communication. And I was going out of my mind. And our souls found a way to communicate, which was very telepathic, the same way you would commune to the dead person, really. And what I learned is just we have more than one soulmate. You don't have to stop loving the person, but you will be brought another soulmate who will fulfill you and be there and commit to you and surrender to that love. But trying to stop loving him is going to make you crazy, because you'll have to block all your divine guidance. You'll have to block all kinds of other energies. So don't even go there. And you don't have to hate him to leave him. That's another stupid myth.
That is such a beautiful piece of wisdom, that if I were to throw up the walls to my genuine feelings, I'm throwing up the walls to that divine guidance. And thank you for saying that.
And that's what I would tell people. It's that you can't love him like a dead man with, you know, forever with your heart, soul, mind. You need a body, a man who will commit that. And he has massive fears of loving someone who could die on him. So that's standing in the way here of him, you know, loving you. I mean, people have to overcome that fear. And if you learn to commune telepathically with his soul, get the messages that come. It may be in a song. All of a sudden you hear a song and you know his soul. He comes to you in your dreams. His soul will be so angry it'll astral project from his body into you when you're sleeping. Maybe he'll say nothing. He'll just look at you. But know that his soul will find a way to communicate to you, but eventually you're going to say, this is like loving a dead man. I'm not. You're alive. If you want to love me, you have to come on the earth plane. But allow it to just be and try to create from this. Try to learn all you can. And you know how I learned? All I learned about love was to learn that God doesn't bring this great a love to rip my heart out. There must have been lessons for me to learn. And it took me 18 years to learn them. And one of them, and a very important lesson, is we didn't come this far in liberation to have a commitment phobic tell us when we could come close and when we have to go away. And that's what he's doing. And, you know, he's in control of things. He's a control freak, by the way, this man.
Yeah, I know.
And control freaks cannot surrender to a higher love. I mean, he married a woman that was never a soulmate, by the way. He was never all that in love with her. I don't know if he told you that.
Mm-mm. But that would be my surmise.
It was like a woman to fit a plan. Maybe he didn't know what a soulmate was. So if you don't know what a soulmate is, you can marry a low level of love because you don't know it. You can bless this man now because you know what a soulmate is, and you could never walk down the aisle with a man to fit a plan or just any man's interchangeable with another. He's cute. He has a little bit of money. It would have to be a soulmate. So now you know something so profoundly brilliant. You know what a soulmate is. But only 1% of people maintain soulmate love. They can't heal enough issues. And you want to be that 1% and examine your own commitment phobia, mm-hmm. how you were afraid. I mean, if we go after someone who's not available and stay with them, it's because we're not ready to have somebody to commit to us. But you have readied yourself for that now. And know that you can bless him and let him go. And
I'm still in the, you know, the grief phases of one minute I'm pissed and the next minute I'm sad and the next minute I just fall into the depth of who I am and how much I'm connected and care about him. And I know grief goes around for a while. I'm not done mourning.
No, and of course, anger is the right response. I want you to love yourself the way you would love your daughter. How mad would you be if a man did this to your daughter? Loved her and couldn't do what he needed to do. I call it taking the easier, harder path. The easier path is to stay with her because divorce is an earthquake, financial, emotional, psychologically, spiritually, communally. Everybody's mad at you.
Yeah.
So he takes the easier, ultimately harder path rather than take the harder path that becomes easier. Have some courage.
Yep. We call it out here, cowboy up, big fella.
Right, exactly. And the fact that it can't do it because, you know, it takes a lot of courage. But I also tell people, I don't care if he says, well, my wife can't deal with this or that. Nobody's that unselfish. If people stay in an unhappy marriage, there's payoffs in it for them. And some of it is that they don't have to heal their issues, their fear of loving someone who could die on them, healing issues that surface in soulmate love. Soulmate love brings up a lot of unhealed issues.
And that's the blessing in it.
And that's what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
So know that it isn't over till it's over, which means they will not close the door on him until May, until the full five-year mark. At that point, if he doesn't step up to the plate, the universe will begin to bring you in alignment with another soulmate and begin to usher you forward. So there's no – you feel what you're going to feel between now and May. Don't even – it hurts and it's painful and it's agonizing. And when you feel in the depths of that, feel it. And when you feel better, if it days you feel better, enjoy that too. But feel whatever you're feeling because people spend their whole life trying not to feel pain. What I've noticed in America is we have more drug addicts, more prescription drug addicts and drunks, and because nobody can feel any pain. I'm like, you have to feel pain. You have to learn to feel pain.
Can I toot my own horn for a second?
Sure.
As part of this process of my own maturing, I'm going to be 62 next month, so of my own maturing so late, and I've really been investigating my own self. I stopped drinking 8 months ago. Doing better with my health concerns and eating more wisely and just this commitment to doing what serves the truth of who I am and getting to know myself, because then it feels like love is really possible. And I'm really proud of myself, Cindy.
And that's exactly it. Now, you stopped your drug of choice drinking, which kept your own feelings down,
yep,
and your anger at yourself for tolerating this. Not even him, more at you.
Yep.
To women who stay with men who are cheating, and if he's your soulmate, he's cheating on you by going home to his wife. I'm sorry.
Yes, he is.
And that, you know, which is the wrong one he's sleeping with, his wife, if he doesn't love her. But the point is, you would have compromised your health. You would have ended up with an autoimmune disorder because you'd be beating yourself up. You'd end up with lupus or MS or Parkinson's, something. Because you're angry at yourself for not moving forward. And know that your first thing everybody needs to do is stop drinking, stop drugging, get off the tranquilizers, start feeling pain. Because people who do the real suffering of life, mind you, don't become neurotic. Neurotics, you just worry about nothing that doesn't matter because you don't do the true suffering that life demands. And once you get through that suffering, life gets really easy. My life is really easy. But I suffered agonizingly a lot of points in my life. And it's getting through that pain, learning from that pain, and not playing victim. You take responsibility for the fact that you tolerated this.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So that's all we have to do with. There's no victims. Children are victims. When we're being abused as kids, okay, we're victims. But as grown-ups, we can't be a victim. We allow it. And we're mad at ourselves for allowing it, perhaps. And welcome to the world of womanhood. You took a lot of crap in the name of love from a man.
Yes, I did.
That's what you did. And, again, you did it. You stayed with him out of love. Now, if you continue to stay with him, it's more out of fear. At this point, fear, there's nothing better. He's the devil I know. Will I be alone? Will I find him? That's not valid anymore.
Okay.
You know, now it's becoming very toxic love. Toxic love becomes an addiction. You have to wean from that addiction, and you're going a little bit cold turkey here.
I am.
And when you need a fix, it's just like heroin. Oh, God, I'm going back for more. Then you're going to kick yourself. You're going to be mad at yourself. The universe is telling you, resist the urge to call him when you need a fix.
Thank you. Words to live by.
Because, you know, that's how you can tell. It went from soulmate down to toxic. Mm-hmm. It's no longer soulmate whatsoever. Of course, loving him, you know, heart, soul, mind, is interesting to do. But eventually you need to analyze your own fears. And know that the greatest love affairs are happening to women 50 and over. So there's a soulmate for you. There's a lot of single people in your age, in my age group, in your age group. There's a lot of single people. And, you know, getting out there and meeting them at the right time when you're healed.
Yes.
You know, nobody wants to be your rebound. Nobody wants to be that person. So you're being asked to just do everything you're doing. Keep looking for the answers. You are obviously divinely guided here. Your dad has passed away, by the way.
Yes.
Because your dad is asking you to forgive him. Do you know what that's about?
Yeah, for not protecting me from mom, you know, the normal thing.
Okay, and again, he's like, welcome to my world. I mean, he's a funny man. He said, talk about taking crap in the name of love. I loved her once, but boy, I didn't like her very much. And he's very funny about it. And
oh, good.
He's the one who's going to bring you a soulmate. Soulmate love always comes from God and from someone who died. And he guided you to me, by the way.
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, he's the only blood relative, only that I've ever trusted.
And I could understand why. He's a good, good man. And who's John, by the way?
He died about a year and a half ago. He was a lover.
Okay, because John is saying, well, didn't you trust me a little?
No, boyfriend, I didn't.
But know that your father's saying, boy, you picked some doozies. But,
yeah, I just want John to know that I really appreciated it and valued what he shared with me.
Oh, great. And he's actually very healed. He's also the one, believe it or not, in the year and a half since he died, has been popping the thoughts in your head, enough is enough.
Oh, good.
Move
and
on.
He encouraged me to stop drinking because that's essentially what destroyed him.
Right. And and alcoholics are always under karmic obligation to guide other alcoholics away from that as a solution.
Excellent.
So you want to know, it's your dad and John who have been up there watching over you. So,
well, thanks,
I mean,
Ben. I appreciate it.
And, you know, I hope it helped your reading. And call in again, especially as you're feeling different things about the breakup, because our show is a learning show. So if you're having a really bad week or day, call us and say, you know, I really feel shitty. I really feel bad. And let us get you through that, you know, so that we help you through that weaning, that moment that you really feel that weakness. And if you need to be, you know, strengthened to move on. Because that's what, you know, we're here for. And anybody who even utters the word, grant me a higher love, those words gets granted a higher love. I'm telling you right now.
Okay, I'm going to say them out loud. Grant me a higher love.
Well, we're going to wish everybody a happy new year. I'm sorry I didn't get to Beatrice, but if you, I see that she's seeing someone for 5 months out of a marriage. Can you call in next week, and I'll write down your phone number and we'll put you right to the top of the list. That's the best that we can do. Nicole, are you hearing what I'm saying?
Of course I'm hearing what you're saying.
Right, so we'll put her to the top of the list.
Yes, we will put Beatrice
to the top
of the
list. I'm putting her right on my list for next week, and I promise that we – and I have a funny feeling the way it works out, something's going to be playing itself out this week.
Yep.
I wasn't supposed
to read
her.
That's usually what happens. Whenever
I
cue people up.
That I wasn't supposed to read her just yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if she would be so kind to call in next week, I will certainly take her first. And we're going to have a new year by then.
We will.
And doesn't that sound great?
Absolutely. 2014 is going to be a wonderful year for so many
people. And didn't you just love Carol, by the way? Didn't you just...
Oh, my God. You know what? I actually told Carol that I was gonna make sure that I queued up. And it's so funny because I try to make it a habit, in case we run late, to never queue people up unless I know that they're definitely going to get on. And I queued up Beatrice right away, and I didn't wait that little window that I normally do, because I told Carol that based on just all of the inner searching that she was doing and all of the homework she was doing before even getting on the show, that I wanted to hear her call. So that's exactly what I did. I queued somebody up, and I made sure that actually I queued up two people. One of the people, actually, she was having some phone issues that she informed me of, and then she dropped out twice and then never called back again because of her phone. But, yeah, I had to jump into Aunt Carol's call, and she's just, what a great energy. And, you know, I'm really, really, even though I don't even know her, very, very proud at the homework that she was doing and at the changes, because like I said in the beginning of the show when talking about myself, change only happens when you make changes. If you want change and you're not doing anything about it and you're just doing the exact same thing, how do you expect change to come to you? You know, and I'm really, really proud at the fact that, you know, she sought us out and that she was into the archives and that she started, you know, doing her homework on her lessons, and that she was really, really taking her lessons with a grain of salt, no matter how tough they were. She was taking it all in stride, and she was still, you know, forging forward. So I'm very proud of her for that, and I'm happy that she found us tonight.
Oh, me too. And that's what I said. The archives have lots of information in them, the shows.
Oh,
you
yes.
know. So if you need an answer, it's probably in – and just pick any show, because the universe knows what you want answered. They'll pick the right one for you, the show where the answer
oh, yes.
is.
And I also think that it's funny too, Cindy, because that one caller just kept dropping, and I queued up Beatrice in the meantime, like I said, slightly prematurely, because I wanted to really get into Carol's call. And, you know, Beatrice is another, she's such a, when you speak to her next week, Cindy, she's such a great energy. And, you know, she really is trying to do everything in her power to take the right steps at the right time, you know, and, you know, just very, very briefly, so that our callers that are listening still can know a little bit about her prior to her getting on the air next week. That, you know, she's now been seeing somebody for 5 months. She's getting out of a marriage. She's legally separated, though, Cindy. And she wasn't looking for anybody, and all of a sudden this person showed up. And, you know, she's really, really having a time of it. And you know what? She just wants to know, like what's going to happen in the new year with this particular person.
And again,
so maybe she does need the
much,
year to be
he
here
may be
before
the man.
She knows.
Just to help her get out, make sure she doesn't go back to the devil she knows. So,
yep,
you know,
absolutely.
He may be serving that purpose, and we'll talk about that. And I think the universe needs that some of this may play out, you know, something may play out in the next
I'm thinking so. That's usually the way that it happens
very
when I chew people
so.
Up. You know what? That's usually what happens whenever I cue people up prematurely and they don't get on. It's usually because they need a little bit more time for certain other things, you know, to happen first before they get, you know, before they get to you. So I'm thinking that you're absolutely right, that something is going to come through this week and she's going to be like, ah, I see now. I see now why I had to wait. So,
wow. Well, happy New Year. I hope everybody had a Merry Christmas and
Happy New Year.
Paul, can't wait to our show next week.
Absolutely, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye.